Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In John chapter 19 and verse 5 we read, Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Now Paul said that he preached Christ. When Philip went to Samaria, he preached Christ and his kingdom. Should we not also preach the same person? Now these momentous words of our text were spoken by Pontius Pilate to an angry, hate-filled mob of Jews whose hearts were set against the Lord Jesus Christ. A man of whom Pilate spoke was Jesus Christ. He's the subject of our lesson. Pilate had made at least four attempts to bring about the release of Jesus, the prisoner, because he knew that Jesus was not guilty of anything worthy of the punishment for which the Jews craved. He was not guilty of the charges placed against him, and Pilate knew that, and he ought to have let Jesus go free if justice had prevailed. He had urged the Jews to try him in their own courts. Take ye him, he said, and judge him according to your law. Well, that offer was refused because they wanted to see Jesus put to death. And under the existing system of the Roman rule, only the Romans could carry out such an execution. And Pilate had sent Jesus to Herod, having heard that Herod was visiting in Jerusalem, and knowing that Jesus was a Galilean. That's the province over which Herod ruled. In this way, Pilate had hoped to escape the responsibility of deciding what to do with this innocent one. He even gave the Jews a choice between Jesus and Barabbas, since it was the custom to release some prisoner on the days of high celebration, such as the Passover. But Barabbas was a robber and a murderer, as well as guilty of insurrection. Nonetheless, the Jews so hated Christ that they preferred the release of Barabbas to Jesus. And Pilate had him mocked and scourged and humiliated publicly in the hope that such treatment might appease the anger pent up in the heart of the mob. But that only whetted their appetite for his blood. All attempts at release having failed, the weak character of Pilate becomes evident, and justice was denied our Lord when Pilate brings him out to them and says, Behold the man. And they cried out for his crucifixion. In essence, Pilate is saying, Here he is. He is helpless before you. Do as you wish. Just take a look at him. And he delivered Jesus into the hands of this wild and vicious mob that clamored for his death. Pilate said, Behold the man. Friend, will you behold him also? Will you in your mind's eye fasten your attention upon him and gaze at him for a moment? I want us to become spectators for a while and look upon this one that stood beside Pilate and before the mob. Seeing the mocking robe and the crown of thorns cutting his brow, observe the bruises and the scars from the inhumane scourging he had endured. Watch as the blood trickles down from the gashes, inflicted as usually the case when one was beaten with rods. So let us also behold the man. And we are looking at a man, not an angel, not a vision, not something imaginary. Here was one who was born about 33 and a half years earlier. His mother was the Virgin Mary. He was humanity and deity in one person. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. This man had grown to maturity, much as other boys. He knew what it was to be tried and tempted. He felt pain as well as joy. He had his moments of happiness and his periods of grief and sorrow. Yes, he had experienced life without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And this hour we now observe was a bitter one for him to endure. It was difficult because he had become flesh. He knew the agony that was already his, and he knew that there was worse awaiting him. He was a man. Pilate could have said, Behold the forsaken man. Jesus was facing this ordeal all alone. Loneliness is one of mankind's most difficult burdens of life. The disciples of Jesus had forsaken him. They had fled when he had been seized. Judas, full of envy and greed, he had betrayed him. Peter, out of fear and weakness, he had denied him. All those who had been closest to him had left him, except maybe a few. None came to his defense. He was entirely alone, and none even near to comfort him and encourage him. Only the whip and the lash and the mockery and the laughter of his enemies were his companions. Yes, behold the forsaken man. But if you look again, you will see the innocent man. Nothing for which he had been accused was true of him. He was not guilty of any of the vicious charges leveled against him. And during his stay on earth, he had done nothing but good toward others. He never sinned. Not one transgression could be laid to his account. He had only been doing the will of the Heavenly Father who had sent him. And even his accusers had to be bribed to say what they did against him. Judas, who betrayed him, admitted that he had betrayed innocent blood. Pilate, using every means to extract a confession from him, said he found no fault in him. Pilate's wife called him a righteous man. Even the Jewish leaders, when asked what evil he had done, they only shouted down, calling for his death. Truly, as the prophet had foretold, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. A fair trial was denied him. He was altogether innocent. So let us behold the innocent man. But again, behold the ridiculed man. The vilest and meanest method of fighting an enemy is by the use of ridicule. In this way, one shows his scorn and contempt for another. To laugh at what you cannot answer is the only way some people can combat an opponent. Scoffing is the prime tool of many. Attempts to make others appear absurd and unkind and wicked. Before his birth, Jesus was proclaimed as a successor to David. His kingdom would never end. Now his enemies made fun of him being a king. They gave him a robe to wear, a crown of thorns, and a reed as a scepter. All this was to ridicule his heavenly royalty. They even shouted, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat upon him, asking him to prophesy who it was that hit him and who it was that cursed him. And dressed in this humiliating manner, they brought him before his enemies for additional laughter and ridicule. Friend, few, if any, have ever undergone such severe mockery as did Jesus of Nazareth prior to his death. And as we continue to gaze at him, behold the silent man. Isaiah had prophesied that Jesus would be as a lamb before his shearer and would not open his mouth to refute the charges against him. He made no defense whatsoever. Well, this was so strange that it causes one to marvel. He could have defended himself that caused one to, or even could have called down, he said, 12 legions of angels to his rescue. He could have asserted the perfect life that he lived. He could have explained every misrepresentation that was pronounced against him. He could have called for many to testify on his behalf of the good works he had done. But would have done any good? Well, obviously not. The enemies sought his death, which they supposed would mean his termination, and the truth would not have any impression upon such hearts. Furthermore, it was God's will and plan that he died for the sin of all mankind. He bore that mission he was sent to accomplish in silence. So we behold the silent man. But let us look once again. Behold the self-sacrificing man. In Mark we read, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. When Paul was showing the relationship between Christ and his church, he said Christ gave himself up for it, Ephesians 5:25. More fully expressed is the sacrifice of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." His suffering and death was a suffering of death of the just for the unjust. He was the pure dying for the impure, the perfect dying for the imperfect. It, as the song suggests, "I gave my life for thee." No, he wasn't forced to do it. He wasn't driven. He willingly, lovingly, sacrificially gave himself. Jesus once said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." But Jesus went even a step further. He died for his enemies as well as for his friends. Self-sacrifice is an acute description of what Jesus did for man, even for you and for me. Yes, he was the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And after Pilate spoke concerning Jesus, he was stripped of the garments of mockery, his own seamless robe placed back upon him. He was led to the hill of Calvary, and there he died. He was by now so weakened physically that he fell beneath the weight of the cross, and a man named Simon was compelled to carry it the rest of the way. Nails were driven into his hands and feet and into the wooden cross, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, hanging in agony, and would suffer until life drained from him and his relief would finally come to him. But finally, friend, one additional thought. Let us see the victorious man. Yes, Jesus was the human as well as divine. He was forsaken. He was innocent. He was ridiculed. He was crucified. He remained silent. He sacrificed himself. But the story of Jesus does not end with the cross. Behold the victorious man. When Jesus was standing beside Pilate, he appeared as nothing like a victor. But see him on the cross, the victory would be one of the last words that ever come to mind. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, 3 days after his death, he arose from that tomb by the glory of the Father. He brushed forth in that tomb and secured for all mankind the possibility of life everlasting. Having once died for the sins of man, he now lives and offers to man the hope of the resurrection and a life that can follow. He fulfilled the prophecies of old, as well as those of his own teaching. He was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection. And friend, one final and additional thought. Let us behold him as our example. Let us look at him as our pattern for life. Look to him and see what God wants man to be. Behold, not just an ordinary man, but the greatest of men, yea, even the Christ, the Savior, the only begotten and true Son of God. Behold him, friend, and behold him with admiration, with devotion, with thanksgiving, with submission, and with great reverence. Here is what he is, here's what he did, that we might be saved. Yes, the phrase, "Behold the man," it calls our attention to Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God and our Savior. Will you behold him? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.